You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This segment is brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. And we're taking a look at investments, especially when we're looking at retirement. We know that Two-Pot came into effect last month at the start of September. So it's going to be something that is sticking around with us for the foreseeable future. And it's obviously changed how we reflect on investments and how we looked at our investments going forward. I'm joined on the line by the head of retail at Allan Gray, Tamron Lamb, to take a look at this and try and see where to from here. Good evening, Tamron. Thanks so much for taking the time. Obviously, with Two-Pot coming into effect on the 1st, we saw throughout the month of September that there were a couple of withdrawals, a couple of companies, whether it's retirement companies, asset managers, reporting that they'd seen an increase in the withdrawal activity from pension funds. What has been your observations as Allan Gray around the investment industry and what's happening at the moment?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so, as you say, this system has been well flagged, these changes, but it obviously came into effect on 1 September. And just for anyone who's not familiar with it, although I think if you've been listening to anything financial services related over the last few months, you've heard a lot about Two-Pot. But really what changed on the 1st of September is that a portion of your retirement account is accessible in future years. And it's been defined as a savings component. And the accessibility is really two parts. The first is there was an upfront amount, once off, a kind of a seeding, which was capped at 30,000, after which tax would be deducted. And then on an ongoing basis, you're allowed to access one third of your contributions. So what we saw in September is that, you know, as it became available, you know, people who needed the funds thought, okay, well, now I can access this amount of 30,000 Rand, if 30,000 Rand or 10% of your value. So I would say, you know, Allan Gray's experience will be a little bit different to some of the other larger providers. From what I can tell, you know, some providers have seen north of 150,000 withdrawals. You know, other providers will be somewhere between 5 to 10,000 withdrawals, and that's the sort of lower end of the spectrum and probably where Allan Gray would sit, just given the nature of our client base and that they largely advised. But just to put that into context, because sometimes you throw out these numbers, that's a meaningful jump relative to what you would ordinarily see from a kind of a normal discretionary investment. And obviously these accounts, you've never been able to withdraw from them before. The one thing that was interesting for us is that we saw quite a lot of volume in the first week. It was almost as if people who really needed it were waiting for it, and they started to put in the kind of requests very quickly, and then it's really tailed off. So, you know, we're kind of getting kind of a much lower volume on an ongoing basis. The other thing that I thought maybe is worth mentioning, sorry, and I'll let you talk, it's just, it's not clear to us how people are spending the money. I know there's lots of commentary, but they could be using it to repay debt, they could be using it to spend, but I think it's way too early to tell.
Tamron, when we look at the withdrawals aspect of it, obviously, as you said, different service providers would have different numbers that they're recording. I know, for example, the Government Employees Pension Fund said they had to the tune of 6 billion rands worth of withdrawal requests that they were currently dealing with. A lot has been said around whether or not people should be withdrawing from their savings. Take me through some of the pros and cons and why it might not be the best idea if people are accessing these funds at this time.
Yeah, so, and I'm going to, as I answer that, I'm going to give more cons to accessing this money than there are pros. But I'm also mindful that there are extreme scenarios in which people need to access the funds for sort of real emergencies. The sort of consequences are twofold. The first is that you are basically withdrawing from your future self. So let's say I'm 40, and unfortunately a little bit older than 40, but let's say I was 40 and I was going to retire at 65, and if I withdrew my 30,000 today, what that actually means is that I've got 100,000 Rand less than I would have had at retirement. So you're sacrificing the sort of capital growth that you would have benefited on that contribution. And remember, when you make contributions to retirement products, you know, they are deductible and they're sort of tax efficient. So actually you're almost allowed to, it's a gross of tax contribution that you're able to compound. And that's the second consequence of accessing it, is that if you do withdrawal, it is taxable. And what we have seen over the past couple of weeks is that that hasn't always been clear to the people who have been requesting the withdrawals. So that tax amount is taxed at your marginal tax rate. So actually, it could even sort of bump you up into another tax bracket. And if you have any outstanding fines or penalties with SARS, that will also get deducted. So unfortunately, we've seen some scenarios where actually the amount paid out in the end per SARS was zero, you know, having started out at an amount of 30. So those are the two real kind of negatives that you are kind of withdrawing from your future retirement potential. So you're kind of taking away from your future self. And you can think about that in terms of the number of months you need to contribute now to make up for it, or you can think about it in terms of the lost value. And the second aspect is that this is not a tax-efficient way in which to kind of withdraw emergency funding.
Tamron, speaking of emergency funding, what should investors be focusing on where we look at things like having an emergency fund in place or just adjusting your overall planning? Yeah. Where should investors' minds be sitting at the moment?
Yeah, you know, and I'm always mindful of just saying that we don't provide advice, and every person's individual circumstances will vary and be different. But if you believe that your retirement account is there for long-term compounding, you want to maximize the amount of money that you have in retirement and you can deploy at retirement tax tables, then you've got to say to yourself, okay, I don't want to take from my retirement account, but life does happen. And, you know, it is then important to build a bit of a buffer for yourself so that you are not forced into getting, you know, very high interest rate short-term debt or, you know, doing something more extreme like accessing from your retirement savings. So what do you do? You know, what we would sort of normally suggest is that you try and, you know, accumulate sort of at least 1 to 3 months of your current expenses into a low-risk unit trust. Let's say it's an interest fund or an income fund. That's going to preserve your capital over the short term, and it just gives you that peace of mind. So then you can, you know, your next contribution, you can say, okay, well, now I've got my emergency fund aside. You know, let's say it's 1 to 3 times my current expenses, and now everything else must go into my retirement.
This is why it's so important to speak to a financial advisor when you think about making these decisions, because every decision you make has some implications on your retirement. I think we'll leave it at that, Tamron. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. This is Tamron Lamb, Head of Retail at Allan Gray, on the two-pot and how to invest better going into your retirement planning. This segment was brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.